Well, would you like to have your Bibles open at the book of Ecclesiastes in the 8th chapter? That's where we've come to now. So chapter 8, and I'm just going to read the first verse. You can concentrate your minds on it. Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Well, throughout this series, occasionally I've read from this lovely New English translation of the Bible, which was given to me as a gift from Anne and Rick, which I'm always grateful for. Whenever I read it, I think of you. And here it is in the NET Bible, very, very helpful. Who is a wise man? Who knows the solution to a problem? A man's wisdom brightens his appearance and softens his harsh countenance. I'll read it once more. Who is a wise man? Who knows the solution to a problem? A man's wisdom brightens his appearance and softens his harsh countenance. So I'm going to do my best to have a softened countenance this morning, as if I don't always have a softened countenance. Maybe. We'll see. So we're beginning this new chapter then of Ecclesiastes. And it's obvious at the very beginning that the first verse has reference to what has gone before. It has reference to what we read in the seventh chapter. To the things, if you like, which he had previously mentioned. In effect, the difficulties of life. So who has the wisdom to discern their way through these things? Through the problems, in effect, which he had highlighted. He asks a most important question. Who out there has the wisdom to deal with the problems which I have highlighted, which are a part of your life, which are a part of the world that you live in? In fact, Michael Heaton, a great authority on Greek and Hebrew, he says this, that this word may be translated, who is really wise? So that's what you're looking for. Who is really wise? The NET Bible says, who is a wise man? And the NIV, it speaks of who is like the wise. So, for all of us, we may ask ourselves this question this morning. Do any of us fit into this category of the wise? Now, it's possible for us to imagine ourselves as wise in our own eyes, that we think we are something in our own estimation. We may think that we are wise. Unfortunately, it's often just that we think that we are wise and that perhaps no one else does. But I think that what Koheleth is driving at the very beginning is a wisdom which is practical. A Christianity, a religion, a faith that isn't practical probably isn't worth very much. It's just pie in the sky. And the same could be said of wisdom. Often, we're really looking for that which is practical with regard to solutions and problems. Just listen to a few quotes from the Proverbs regarding the nature of wisdom. The writer of the Proverbs says, a wise man listens to advice. So this morning, are we that wise person? That wise person listens to advice. He or she is not a know-it-all. I'm prepared to listen to advice. The tongue of the wise brings healing. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. He who walks with the wise grows wise. That's no surprise. I think we would all agree with that. And a wise man's heart guides his mouth. And all of these verses and many more come up out of the Proverbs. Well, our teacher says, who knows the explanation of things, or who knows the solution to a problem? And his point is surely this, that there is a solution to the problem. There is an answer to the question. And who would be best to consult? Surely it would be best to consult the one who is really wise. Now, one thing's for certain. Old and young, we all face problems. All of us. Without question. And we face them throughout life. We all long for an explanation of things. And I suppose that even this week, there will be those of you who have faced problems and thought, how will we get the answers to these questions? And so on. Because, you see, life is not that simple. Look at the end of chapter 7. This only have I found, God created mankind upright, but they have gone in search of many schemes. Life is not that simple. God did make man upright, he did make him perfect, but he's fallen and he's gone in search of many schemes. And whatever else you find in life, if you have gone after many schemes, is you will find problems. You're bound to find problems. And because of the problems, you will long for a solution. You will desire a solution. It's only natural to do so. In fact, it's at least a tacit admission that we have problems when we seek a solution to things. So you'll meet people and they say, everything's fine, everything's going all right, no problem. But actually they, within themselves, they know that they are seeking solutions. It's an admission, even though it be only a tacit admission, that they actually have problems. Kohelet says, who knows the explanation of things? Who will we go to? Who will we go to for an explanation of things? Who is the wise man? Have you not asked that question before? Surely. And every one of us must remember this morning that our problems remain all of our days. All of our days. You say, I've got problems today. I promise you that just as you resolve one, just as you solve one problem, there will be another one waiting to come up behind to take its place. Meaning, of course, that in the entirety of life, not just this morning, not just today, but for the whole of our lives, we will need wisdom. Well, here is the suggestion, at least from Kohelet, that we will need wisdom, but it remains for us then to find out where we will find that one who is the really wise man or the wise person. If we stop this morning and we think of all the wisdom that we have sought over the years, how much of it was really wise? How much was really wise when we have considered solutions which were no solutions at all? I've told you over and over again that what Kohelet is doing is embarking on a journey to look at secularism to see if it has solutions to problems. Can it really answer the real issues of life? And of course, he comes back again and again and he says it's a failed system. And you know, the truth is that by nature, what we do is we do go looking for solutions, we do go looking for answers, but we go to the quacks. We go to the witch doctors. We go to bogus doctors who are not really doctors at all. who have no real answers. And of course, I'm bound to say this morning with regard to the gospel that Jesus is the physician of souls, that he is the one who has the great answer. And so while ever you go on looking and searching and trying to find solutions with this doctor and that doctor, everywhere you will find that people are beset with problems, and you will find as many people who are offering up solutions. And yet so often, there are no real answers which are offered. Have you been offered a partial answer? Have you been offered a half-baked answer? What kind of answer have you been given? What kind of answer does school offer to you? What kind of answer does society offer to you? What kind of solution does the world at large offer to us? Do we really think that our politicians, whichever ones are elected this week, that they will be really wise? I'm not being unkind, but check out Boris Johnson's haircut. Does he really make you think that you might have confidence in him? Really wise? With the kind of things that he says? I doubt it very much. We may well find in our fellow humans those who seem to possess certain discernment and special gifts. Yes, that's true. They seem to have walked with the wise themselves. Yes, that's true. There have been such people in time. Those whose tongues seem to be able to bring a kind and healing word to our problems. Yes, there have been those. Those who seem to be able to deal with predicaments that we face. Yes, there are those. Those with quiet wisdom. We have met them. Yes, there are those. Those who really make a difference in our lives. Yes, there have been those. And we may be thankful, very thankful to God, that we have met such people along the way in our lives. And yet every one of them, no matter who they might be, every one of them, with whatever wisdom they possess, they all always lack something. Always. God alone knows the explanation of things. Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? Who knows the solution to a problem? I fear that when all has been done and dusted next week, the solution to the problems will no more be found than they were found before, or before that, or before that, or before that, just goes on. There is a solution, but the solution is not found in this world. Yes, there are those we meet who are really wise and we are thankful for them, but still they are fallen, still they fail. They come back again and again and again and they fail. I want to say to all of the young people that it is his voice of wisdom that will offer the best explanation to you and offer the best answer to solve problems. It is his hand which will prevent us from slipping. It is his hand. Yes, you may have a good friend who may reach out with wisdom and prevent you from slipping, but he or she will not always be there. But his hand will prevent you from slipping. As we read in the 121st Psalm, it is his strength alone which will save us. Not some great new government or power in the world. It will be his power alone. The psalmist proved this when he says, "Where does my help come from?" My ultimate help, my absolute help, my real solution to my real problems Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And I only say to everyone this morning, I pity the world when it goes again and again with belief in the wisdom of men that they will have solutions. You can be sure that along the way they will fail, and then it seems to me to be no surprise that people feel very disappointed in their leaders. Let us learn at this time from this text who is like the wise, who knows the explanation of things. As the young people grow up with countless questions, unanswered questions often, your mum and dad won't be able to answer all the questions, of course they won't. They won't be able to explain everything, of course they can't. The school can't, your teachers can't, the world at large can't. But there is one who is wise. No, there is one who is really, really wise. So, make use. Yes, make use of those who you think may be helpful to you. But remember always that there is one way beyond that person, man or woman, with whatever wisdom they offer to you, who will offer to you that wisdom which offers the explanation, the solution to our problems. And if you're anything like me, in the week which has just gone by, you're looking for solutions to problems. Of course you are. First thing you do is you pick the phone up and ring someone. What about turning to the Lord? What about looking to God, who really, really is wise? Well, what a wonderful recommendation that should be to every one of us. But there is something else here, very, very wonderful, I think. And it tells us that a person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance or harsh-looking countenance. Well, a person's wisdom brightens their face. Remember, the NET Bible says a man's wisdom brightens his appearance and softens his harsh countenance. Softens his harsh countenance. It changes a hard appearance. Now, this is quite a subject. I think you'll all agree with me. It's quite a subject all by itself. See, many people acknowledge that they've got problems. Many people acknowledge that in their problems that they would like solutions. And do you know what? Many of those people are taught to go and seek God by the church or whoever, who is all wise. And yet, do you know, so many of these people have got a picture in their mind as to what God is like. When you talk to people, they'll say, oh no, I could never go to God. He's too harsh a figure. And there must have been millions of people who have an image in their minds about the harsh countenance of God. And they've never, ever gone to him. Well, all right, let's test it for ourselves. You've got a problem. You would like a solution to it. Do you go to somebody who looks very grumpy and stale and crusty and unfriendly, with a harsh-looking countenance? Given the fact that, for instance, we might have two people on offer who might be able to help you with your problems and give a solution. And there's someone else stood there who's very warm and winsome and smiling and affable and kindly looking. Which one do you go to? It's obvious which one you go to. And it's no surprise that many people have never gone to God because already in their minds they see his face quite clearly and they think of him as having a harsh countenance, a hard exterior. And so right at the very beginning of this point, I say to all of you, a person's wisdom brightens their face. And God is the fountain of all wisdom. His face is bright. Remove from your mind forever that harsh looking God who may have been built up. How it was done, maybe it was through pictures, maybe it was through illustrations. Throw them out, be done with them forever. Have nothing to do with them. Here is the one who is the fountain of all wisdom. And I use this text immediately to encourage everyone to remove from their psyche, as it were, from their minds, this picture of the harshness of God. Why is it that we're often frightened off by someone? Hey, Martha, are you in there? Nice to see you this morning. Martha, you're not frightened off by me, are you? I know you're not, because you've come to see me on several occasions recently. Martha's not frightened off by me. Well, who would be? Come on. I'm not frightening. I'm not crusty. And I hope not. Am I, Martha? No. Brilliant. But we're often frightened off by someone's face. You've got to admit it. We're often frightened off by someone's eyes. Because the face tells a great deal, the turn of our mouths. The way that we look at someone, the way that we use our eyes, or the way that we don't use our eyes. The way that we look tells a story. Our faces say something. And the text says a person's wisdom brightens their face. I heard this once from a London banker. He came to see me. And he was telling me how it was specialist banking. He said to me, well, you know, we take a few new people every year. They're usually those who have graduated in economics or in fields that are relevant to what we need. But we only interview from Oxford and Cambridge. We don't even bother with London School of Economics or anyone. We just interview from Oxford and Cambridge, and we only take the best ones. And so you can imagine these very best ones, not even those who've got, you know, second-class honours degrees, who've got a first-class honours degrees from Oxford and Cambridge. They're the ones that they take. And he said, in they come, one by one, and we interview them. But he said, we always have a rule. No matter what their qualifications, if they once drop their eyes to their shoes, just once, they're out. They're finished. Doesn't matter how good they are. We never take them. That's our rule. So in the interview, they once look at their shoes. That's the end. Because they couldn't make eye contact. They were eliminated. A person's wisdom brightens their face. I can look at you. You can look at a person. Yeah, it's nice to look at you, Carol. The face, the look, the eye contact. For him, everything was vital. But beyond this one thing, there was no qualification more vital. You see, the one who looks at his shoes, you've got to admit this, he's nervous about something. Now, it's nothing wrong about being nervous. Of course not. We can all have nerves. But he said to me, he's the young man, the young woman, who's going to get caught out. When he's standing with one of my really important clients, and he doesn't look him in the face, but he looks at his shoes, he's not confident. And therefore, we may lose a client who's about to invest tens of millions of pounds in our business. So the one who goes to such an interview, just as a bit of advice, shouldn't go cocky. but should display a humble confidence and some certain self-assurance that makes the face bright. It comes from wisdom. I believe in what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. That's what this wisdom is about. A person's wisdom brightens their face. Do we have anything in us of that kind of wisdom? A wisdom that delivers a smiling face. A hard appearance, a hard countenance can drive people away before we've even had a chance to speak. I used to say in my generation growing up that some parents did not even need to speak to their children to discipline them, but a look said it all. Is that right, Anne? Yes. You see, some of the older generation are looking at me and saying, "Ooh, yeah, remember that." Yes, that's it. A look said it all. They did not have to use words. In other words, they could influence their children's behavior by a look, which tells you the power of what he's speaking about. A person's wisdom brightens their face. Now, in this regard, I've got something to say about the church, which is important. If you see old photographs about the church, I love to see them, I really love them. But so often, in those pictures of the church, the people are almost all, not all, but nearly all, they all appear to have a sort of harsh look on their face, as if it was a struggle to smile. Now, looking into a camera in those days was different, of course, from looking into a camera today. I realise that. But often it was thought that sternness, that hardness, was a virtue. And so in the old photographs, so often people look glum, and they look stern, and they look very serious. And so it stands to reason that if the church has a people that have a softened countenance, that have expressions within themselves, that as it were reflect the Saviour, that this is bound to be winsome, that this is bound to affect those who listen. I looked out an old book yesterday, just to confirm this for myself, of old photographs of Whitby. And there were some people standing outside a shop, and they all looked as though they'd swallowed a wasp. All of them. The children, the adults, all of them. It's so glum. If you go on the London Underground in the morning or in the evening, everyone on the whole looks so glum, and many of them might say, "Well, you'd look as glum as I do if you had to go to the place that I'm going to." But my point is that wisdom brightens a man's appearance. And it depends what's in our minds. It depends what's in our minds. It depends of the wisdom that is flowing through us, that has come down to us. And unbeknownst to us, we may develop in life such a countenance, such a face, that not known to us becomes an unfriendly countenance, not a welcoming countenance, not one that is warm, which swells with anticipation and expectation. Of course, the Lord had his very serious moments when he had to rebuke people. We find it hard, surely, to imagine him looking like those 19th century churchgoers, all glum and gloomy and grim in appearance. We find it impossible to think like that. And if the church, if the congregation, if the minister seems like they're harsh, then what on earth does that say to those who come through the doors. And we would naturally want to think about the way in which we come across in our appearance. I'm not saying that it's the job of the church to be cracking jokes and making people laugh and entertaining people. Not at all. But just that this overwhelming wisdom of the gospel should shine through. Now, it's important that I say something, because some of you may have heard these things. It has been said over the years that Trinity Evangelical Church is harsh, and that it's hard, and a Calvinistic Baptist church, not very loving, not very kind, and judgmental, and all the rest. Now, if by that people say that we are Bible-believing, and that we believe that there is only one God, and that there is only one way of salvation in Jesus Christ, and that it is a faith by grace and not by works alone, and that that is the only rule, and that God calls all men one day to judgment, and that people do actually go to hell and suffer for their own sins because they were unrepentant, then we did say that, and it was not a suggestion in any way that we were harsh. And anyone in this church, any time, whoever speaks about the judgment, whoever speaks about hell, as it were without tears, without a heavy heart, has not got this wisdom. A person's wisdom brightens their face. When we preached on these hard things, we never looked down at our shoes. Never. But we tried to do it with the deepest feeling and with compassion and with care and with concern. I think that any preaching on the subject of hell that doesn't come with tears almost certainly comes with a hard and judging countenance. You can see now why I chose the passage from Acts chapter 6. Because in that passage, Stephen preached the most difficult truth to those unbelieving Jews. He told them the truth and they hated him for it. And we read on in chapter 7 that they stoned him to death. But Luke's observation is that his face was like the face of an angel. It's most striking. He had bitter things to tell them, that's for sure. But I want to say to you, with what wisdom he delivered it. With what wisdom he conveyed it. So that a person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. The hard things that he had to tell those Jews about their unbelieving condition and the hardness of their hearts and their unwillingness to receive the Messiah. All of this had to be told. And yet he was able to tell it. Surely in such a way, because we read of his wisdom in the passage, he was able to tell it as one whose wisdom brightens their face, and his face shone. So, I said that this is about a practical wisdom at the beginning. And the practical wisdom is like this, that we have the most wonderful story to tell. The secret wisdom of God, the Bible says, is Christ himself. Well, he didn't look down at his shoes. He looked men and women straight in the eyes. And none could match him. And for compassion and care and love and sweetness of spirit, there can surely have been no other man like him. I think that whatever the seriousness of what he was saying, he was still able, in his spirit, to have the most melting affection upon people. And that is all I ask for in the life of the church. That we should have something of that about us, that the wisdom of God should be in us to make our countenance shine. So young people, don't believe in a harsh picture of God. Don't believe in a horrible picture of God that's been painted. You can go to him. He has the solutions. He has the answer to problems like no one else. And though there may be people in the church and in the church who are really wise, you will not find anyone who is quite so wise as the Lord. If you think about going to the Lord, I know often this is the case. People think that the Lord will have a scowl on his face because of what you've done and what you've been and what you are. Oh no, that's not right. The Lord will have no scowl on his face. Only his wisdom will brighten his face. And his wisdom never fails. He knows how to deal with you exactly. He knows what to say to you. He knows how to answer your needs. When your mum and dad don't, and the school don't, and everyone else does not know how to answer your need, he knows. You don't need to be afraid of going to God as if he will scowl at you because of what you've done, because he's a merciful and gracious God. And he longs to welcome those who will come to him. Can I sell it to you like this? That his love always softens his appearance. So if there's any one of you that has been reluctant to go to God before today, because she thought that this would be his appearance, I'll give it to you like this. I went to walk by the windmills the other day by myself, and I was astonished to see some brand new born lambs. Now, they were being born at the end of February and March, but here was some that had only just been born. Couldn't be more than a few days old. They could hardly stand up, very late ones. It's not for nothing that Jesus is styled the Lamb of God. It is to such a Jesus, to such a Saviour, that each and every one of you might go. So when earthly wisdom fails, even the really wise fail to offer the solutions and give you the answers, there is one who is really, really wise. And his wisdom brightens his face and changes its hard appearance. And if the church can learn something from this, that if we have developed in any way in our individual lives or as a corporate body, a hard appearance, a harsh looking countenance, then may God come to us and teach us to have one which is softened, which truly draws people into our own lives and into the lives of the church and ultimately into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Well, may God bless his work to our hearts this morning. Amen.
Amen.